Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing our show. Tuesday, the last Tuesday of July. It's the 28th, 2020. Boy, this is the year that just moves like, molasses, right? Excessive heat watch, in effect. What's the difference between an excessive heat watch in June or one in late July? One word answer, humidity. Oh my goodness. It's not even going to be close to 110 today, but coming in to the show, I couldn't believe it. The air is just so thick with humidity and heat. Anyway, we'll get through it. We're trying to bring Southern Arizonans together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback with the live feed coming from kvoi.com. Let's start the show today with try to clear up some of the confusion around the PPPs. That's the Payroll Protection Program. And although the PPP is popular, businesses have been complaining that some of the rules make the program very difficult to use. Let's welcome now to the show longtime friend of the Buckmaster Show and the official accountant for the Buckmaster Show from the CPA firm of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Michael C. Flowers. Michael, how are you?
Great, Bill. Great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much. So much confusion around the PPPs. What are you hearing and what can you do to try to clarify this for our listeners?
Well, there's two aspects. The first aspect is, did you get a PPP loan? And they've now extended through August 6th, those that have not applied for a PPP loan, there are still funds available, and we're trying to encourage as many of our clients as possible to take advantage of this very generous offer that helps maintain payroll and keeps businesses operating, et cetera. So for your listeners out there that haven't applied, you can still apply online to get a PPP loan. And then for those businesses that were fortunate enough to get a PPP loan, they had to spend the money within an eight-week period if they got the money before June 5th. And those 8 weeks are now up. And certain banks are allowing their borrowers for the PPP loan to go in and actually request forgiveness. We've helped a number of clients already, and it's a fairly simple process, but you have to have all your information readily available. And if you're not sure what to do, certainly check with your CPA. And if you're not working with the CPA, we'd be happy to try to help you out over the phone in terms of what you're going to need to put together. But it's super critical that the loan does get forgiven in terms of not having to pay the loan back as opposed to not going through the application.
That's what I need to clarify. You're talking forgiveness here. Is that like
free money?
Yeah, free money.
Free money.
Whoa.
To the extent that if you borrowed 100 grand and 90 grand is forgiven, then you do owe the 10 grand at 1% over a five-year period, I believe it is. But if people filled out their PPP loan application appropriately and utilized the funds appropriately, we're seeing that in most cases our clients are going to get 100% forgiveness. I will tell you there's two caveats that the layperson or the bookkeeper or your person helping you out with your business may not know, but you have to maintain your full-time equivalents. So if I had 10 full-time equivalents when I applied for the loan, and after the 8 weeks were up, I wound up with 9 full-time equivalents, then that ratio of 90% is the maximum amount of the loan that I can get forgiven. And for those people that got a loan after June 5th, they have 24 weeks in which to spend the funds. So they have plenty of time, but if you're starting to geez, I'm not sure I'm going to have the same amount of full-time equivalents. Now's the time to do something about it before the 24 weeks are up so that you can reestablish your FTEs by bringing some people back because the government's essentially going to pay their payroll.
What are the tax implications for these people?
The good news is it's free money and the loan is forgiven. The bad news is that there'll be an income tax consequence to the extent of whatever the amount of the loan forgiven was.
Uh-huh.
And what the IRS has said is that originally it was supposed to be tax-free, but the IRS said any expenses that were covered by the PPP loan, which is essentially payroll, will not be deductible, which in effect makes the loan taxable to the extent of the forgiveness.
You have the expiring unemployment benefits. Are these taxable, the Michael C. Flowers?
Employment, I believe, is generally taxable. I'm not sure if they have a certain provision for the $600 additional, but my understanding was that was taxable. And that's scheduled to expire Friday, and one party wants to extend it with the same $600 extra per week. And the Republican proposal is reducing it to an additional $200 a week, and the difference being that the Republicans are saying that in many cases people are making more while they're getting these funds than they were getting as payroll, and there's a disincentive to go back to work. And I'm not going to get in the middle of that, but that's what the current argument is. And it does expire Friday, and I'd be amazed that they don't compromise and at least resolve that by Friday and then maybe deal with the other $3 trillion versus $1 trillion difference between the two parties.
Now these delays, you know, we had the July 15th tax deadline. Are there some other things that folks are kind of under the radar screen here about some of the business return due dates?
Yeah, businesses can be formed in many different structures. One is as a sole proprietor, another's as an LLC, another's a regular corporation, and then what predominantly our clients are structured as are S corporations. And the S corporations and the C corporations were due originally in March, and now they're due in September if there was an extension filed. If no extension was filed, at this point, all tax returns are past due. But if you did do an extension, the next deadline is September 15th. And for those that did an extension on their individual returns, which would include the sole proprietors, that return was due July 15th, but an extension was allowed through October 15th. So September and October is the next batch of deadlines relative to both individuals and businesses.
And again, there is money still available, and you will help folks if obtain one of these PPPs. And when we're talking about PPPs, we're not talking about the PPEs, which are personal protection equipment. We're talking about a personal business loan.
It's called the Paycheck Payroll Protection Plan, and it applies to sole proprietors. So even if you're a small business and you had a business last year, you can generally get 2.5 times your average income on your Schedule C for sole proprietors, and that's all the bank's requiring. So making it simple, if I made $60,000 last year in my small business as a sole proprietor, I made $5,000 a month. The government will give you $12,500. It's generally forgivable as long as you make more than $12,500 over the next 24 weeks. We can't encourage it enough of how relatively easy it is and how it's encouraging businesses to stay afloat. And we've been very fortunate with our clients that many of them have applied, received, and in some cases gotten the loans forgiven.
Now, Michael, where can people reach you? And I know you're always willing and very happy to talk to our listeners.
Yeah, as a courtesy to the show, Bill, and just as a service to the community, we're available on a no-charge phone call, and it's our general work number, 327-8706. Or if you look up Mike Flowers in Google, I've been in town almost 40 years, and it's easy to find us. Name of Flame is Flowers Rieger. I started it in 1984. A mere 36 years ago.
Are you easy to find, your office?
Yeah, so we're in Old Farm, which is between Craycroft and Wilmont on Grant Road.
Over by Costco.
Over by Costco, which is west of the Costco, between Craycroft and Wilmont on Grant. Very easy to find, relatively central, and a lot of this can be done over the phone, and we do have safety precautions in terms of mask in a large conference room, and we can Zoom or we can talk on the phone. But it's super critical that those businesses that are struggling or that need the funds, you know, many people are intimidated by forms and getting it done, but this has been one of the more reasonable documentation requests on behalf of the banks. They don't need tons of documentation and a few slips of paper and some payroll reports, and most banks have this down to a science, and it's a 48 to 72 hour turnaround to actually get your check.
Wow.
Yeah,
all right.
Unbelievable.
Michael C. Flowers, always a pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Great talking to you, Bill, and good luck to your continued success.
Thank you very much. Michael C. Flowers, the CPA of the Buckmaster Show, some really good information there. If you're a small business, I might want to give Mike a call over at Flowers and Rieger Associates, 327-8706. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman. Kind of a medium so-so day on the market, but everybody's pointing to Thursday. Shelley will tell us what's coming up, a big red-letter day for the financial markets on Thursday. Be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And continuing on with our Tuesday of good financial information, Michael Seaflowers had some really good information about small businesses, and now, always with good information at 20 minutes past 12 every Tuesday, is Shelley Fishman. Hey, Shelley, how's your week going?
So far, Bill, but it's still early.
It is still early, and I think everybody's pointing to Thursday. Can you summarize what we can expect?
We've got two things that we can expect on Thursday. First of all, in the morning, early in the morning, the Commerce Department is supposed to release the second quarter GDP report for the U.S. If they do it, and there's nothing that we have right now that would indicate that they wouldn't, what we will see is some really discouraging numbers. The question is going to be how discouraging. Also on Thursday in the afternoon, typically just before the market closes, the Federal Open Market Committee, the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee, will also come out with any changes in interest rates that they might, you know, want to do for this month. It is not expected that they will do anything to change interest rates at all. However, if Jerome Powell makes a statement that contains optimistic, forward-looking kind of hopefulness, then it could blunt the effect, certainly on markets, of a really grim GDP report. Now, when I say really grim, so in 2019, when you did all the revisions and everything, GDP was actually up about 2.1% for the year. In the first quarter, and remember, the first quarter includes January, February, and March, so you only get couple of weeks
of March, the bad news.
Yeah. We were down 4.8%.
Yeah.
Okay. What we could see if some of the worst case scenarios play out for the second quarter is an adjusted annual rate of down 33%.
Oh, boy.
Now, Bill, the worst we've seen post-war was 10%, and that was in 1958, I believe. So a 33% decrease on top of a 4.8% decrease is in unprecedented territory in terms of contraction of the economy. If we see only 10 or 12 or 15%, I think there could be some bragging rights going on. And, you know, this is not as bad as economists were expecting, and that'd be a good thing. If we see something in the area of 25 to 30%, that's going to be received by the markets, even though they're expecting it. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be perceived very negatively because nobody's seen numbers like that in, you know, nobody alive has seen numbers like that. And we don't know how to kind of deal with it. Now, what we did see on Sunday was Larry Kudlow from the president's economic staff was on CNN talking about the boom in housing and the boom in consumer spending and you know, just silly nonsense. But
a boom compared to, I mean, June was up over a pretty dismal month of May.
Well, exactly. So you, now, I mean, even saying that, new housing sales in June actually were about as good as January. So that was pretty good. And apparently the automotive sales were also pretty good, mm-hmm. and almost at the, you know, at the equivalent of what we would have had in January.
Okay.
So those two sectors were actually in pretty good shape. Consumer spending, on the other hand, remember, we have about 70% of this economy is consumer spending.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you have retail spending, that's only part of consumer spending. So retail spending was up to about January levels. But that does not include travel. It doesn't include restaurants. It doesn't include the stuff that has really taken a beating. You know, that's the stuff you buy in stores.
Yeah.
And even though people may not be going to stores, they're getting it online now. So people want to spend money. They seem to have some money to spend. But that is not to say that this economy can be, you know, buoyed up by just that portion of consumer spending. We've got to get back to some sort of normalcy in traveling and entertainment and sports spending, and that kind of thing. And we haven't even begun to recover there.
So 25 to 30% decline, the market, as you put it, will react. There'll be a negative reaction. It's just,
right. I mean, this has been a very optimistic market, and they're looking for good news.
Yeah.
But you know, even if we were to get a 25% drop in GDP in the second quarter, that's still 30% for the year, and nobody has seen anything like that. Now, that's two quarters of downward movement from the prior year, and so that is the definition of at least a recession. There is no formal definition for what a depression is, but that puts us in recession territory for the first two quarters of this year. Now, what we know is that things are getting better. As we moved into the end of June, beginning of July, we'll see where that takes us. But it is going to take a great deal of upward movement to overcome a 25 or 30% drop. And so, you know, the real question as we move into the election is going to be, did we come out of the recession in the third quarter? And that's going to require people asking the right question. Because just an upward movement doesn't mean we were out of the recession. It has to be an upward movement from the prior year. And that is very unlikely.
Some of these big traders, do they anticipate, like, do they try to get out or sell a lot of things, like, before this happens on Thursday?
You see some volatility, sure.
Market timing, and
yeah,
I know
you see some of that, but keep in mind, Bill.
Okay.
What we're looking at here, when we mostly talk about the what the market is doing, is we're looking at, you know, the Dow, which is 30 stocks, the biggest stocks there are. We're looking at the S&P 500, so the 500 largest corporations, or pretty much the largest corporations, and these are all public corporations. These are corporations whose stock is traded in a market. When you take a look at, on the other hand, where most people make their money, where most people are employed in this country, it's not in public corporations. It's small business.
Right.
Okay? And those are the ones that are being most definitely affected. So you can be optimistic about where large business is going, especially high tech, okay, and still understand that the economy is not doing well. And I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, but when you look at the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P, you're looking at the largest of the businesses, and those businesses that, you know, can shield themselves to a very great extent. Now, the airlines can't, but from bad news. But the mom and pop stores, the restaurants, the clothing stores, the things that we do business with every single day, those guys are hurting very badly.
Boy, they certainly are. And there's a big article in the New York Times about ma and pa organizations and businesses. They were talking about the New York area.
Yeah.
I think it was they were talking about Queens. You're a New York guy.
I am.
And they were talking about businesses that have been around for generations that right now are teetering.
Teetering, and you know, you just wonder how they can stay open. How much money does a person who runs their own business, maybe has two or three or four employees, has to still pay rent?
So you just
wonder how this can go on month after month after month. We are really so dependent upon Congress to give us another substantial kind of influx of capital for the next several months.
All right, Shelley, have a great rest of the week. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Bill.
And coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to switch gears. We will go off the financial news to the literary scene. What are you reading this summer? And give us a call, 790-2040, if you have any suggestions of books you are currently reading or have read this summer or during the whole shelter in place. We'd love to hear from you. 790-2040. We'll be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 50 years and still growing, an extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture as part of Zocalo Village. And of course, on the 13 acres, some amazing plants, trees, and annuals, and a lot more. 3384 East River Road. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Well, what are you reading this summer? I've read a couple of interesting books, Empires of the Sky, Zeppelins, Airplanes, and Two Men's Epic Duel to Rule the World by Alexander Rose. If you're into aviation like I am, it's a must-read book. I think it's like 600 pages, so that kept me busy. Of course, it's the battle between the von Zeppelins of Germany and Juan Trip, the founder of Pan American Airways, who would control the transatlantic travel route. Interesting book. Other one, Island on Fire, The Revolt That Ended Slavery in the British Empire. Tom Zollner, a Tucson guy originally, went to high school here. He's now the political book editor for the LA Review of Books. Tom teaches at Chapman University and Dartmouth College. That book, we interviewed Tom a couple of weeks ago, and our interview with him is available at buckmastershow.com. Well, let's ask a real professional now what she's reading. Literature professor Arlie Sheehan, head of the UA English Department. Arlie is an award-winning writer. She's the author of four short story collections, including Demigods on Speedway, published by University of Arizona Press. Her most recent collection of short stories, Once Into the Night, from the University of Alabama Press. She's also the author of two novels. Arlie, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well. How's your summer been? You're pretty much semi-sheltering in place, I guess, like everybody else.
Absolutely, yes. It's been sort of a long summer and a mellow summer, as it were. I think all of us are trying to make the best out of this situation. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but reading is definitely something that we can do, and which fills the hours with a different kind of traveling.
So I've given a couple of my suggestions. Let's hear what you've got.
Okay. Well, you know, today I have breaking news from the world of books. Instead of books that I have read, I'm going to tell you about a couple of books that I want to read that have just come out.
Okay.
Zadie Smith is a wonderful novelist and nonfiction writer. Her book, Intimations, which is a reflections on COVID, it's something that she wrote just in the past year, just came out today. She is an amazing, beautiful writer. I love her novel, White Teeth, another novel called On Beauty, which won the Orange Prize and a whole bunch of other prizes. But Intimations is getting phenomenal reviews as just a very generous look at humanity and a look at sort of what this COVID situation is bringing up in us. I think when we're looking at the news, listening to the news, sometimes we can really get bogged down with all the stress and the negativity that's coming our way. But she's very clear-eyed about you know, humanity, but she's also generous and has a kind way of looking at things as well. That's something we can appreciate.
Zadie Smith?
Zadie. Z as in zebra.
Oh. Z, okay.
Zadie.
Uh-huh.
Smith.
Okay.
Intimations.
Interesting.
So she's a Londoner who lives in New York now. So I recommend that. I'm really looking forward to it. I've ordered it and can't wait for it to get to my house.
Okay.
So the other one that I ordered and I just got in the mail, it came out last week. It's a novel, and it's called The Pull of the Stars. The Pull of the Stars. And this book is by Emma Donahue. Now, she wrote Room. Room was a big old bestseller just a few years back. And it was also made into a movie, and it did pretty well. Well, The Pull of the Stars, which she must have been writing for a couple of years, turns out it's set in Dublin in 1918 at the time of the Great Flu. So besides me knowing that she's an excellent writer and, you know, just a kind of a page turner, I'm really just part of me wants to just see, to read about what it was like in the Great Flu. You know, I know it's going to be so different. Also, I absolutely love Dublin and Ireland, so that's a plus for me as well. But, you know, as much as I want to escape this pandemic and everything else, I'm also just newly fascinated in the way the flu hit not only the country but the world back then too. Do you feel that same way, Bill?
I do. I mean, there are so many similarities to what we are going through, and it's been a time where an emotional roller coaster for me, and I know I speak for so many people, where there's, you know, there's good and bad days. And I've been very open about it, that I'm trying not to look at any kind of social media or any news reports after 8 o'clock at night, because it has impacted my sleeping. The nights that I do look at and consume news information right before going to bed turn out to be very a very troubled evening, and I'm trying to avoid that. So we even had a sleep expert on a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was even a week ago. A week ago. I forget. That's another thing about living in 2020. Time seems really weird. But we had this sleep expert who was saying about that you really do need to kind of disengage, divorce yourself from all the bad news, especially at the end of the day. Before you go to sleep, let me ask you, do you have any, those are two books you're really looking forward to, The Pull of the Stars and Intimations. What about, what have you read recently that you like?
You know, I read a novel called Normal People by Sally Rooney, which has just come out as a TV show on Hulu. That was very funny. She's also Irish, actually. But Normal People is about, you know, kids who move into their teen years and their young adult years. And it's about relationships. It's sort of a love story, but it's definitely not sentimental. So I like that a lot, Normal People. While I'm on the Irish theme, I'll say that if you're looking for the darkest book ever, which probably not that many people are looking for, I just read a book called The Butcher Boy by Patrick McCabe. It is excellent. I really appreciated it. It's kind of like a thriller, without any of the normal conventions of that genre. It's very much a character study of a boy who things go wrong for, and you kind of root for him, but you become increasingly uneasy because of his tendencies.
I read
another book.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of a book called Lost Children Archive by Valeria Lucelli, which is really interesting about children on the border, refugee children, and it has a lot of touchstones for us today and here in Arizona.
All right. Aralee Sheehan, always a pleasure, and good luck as you navigate very difficult times now as you go back to the school at the U of A. This is going to be very interesting. See how it all plays out. Good luck and stay safe. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Arlie Sheehan, University of Arizona literature professor. She's also the head of the English department. Let me quickly summarize, John, a couple of the books we talked about. The Pull of the Stars, Arlie is currently reading that. Sounds like a great book. And then this Zadie Smith is the author of Intimations, kind of what it's like living, some of the reflections during these very troubled COVID times. And also I liked Empires of the Sky, Zeppelin's Airplanes, and Two Men's Epic Duel to Rule the World. And I also like Tom Zollner's book, Island on Fire, The Revolt That Ended Slavery in the British Empire, which was reviewed, nice review for Tom, in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday. It's amazing that that Jamaican revolt of 1832, which brought down slavery in the British Empire, has so many echoes of what's going on about as we talk about racial justice and a 400-year legacy of slavery in this country. So there you go, some book ideas for you. Coming up next, our monthly tourism, Tucson Tourism Update. Dan Gibson on the live line. Be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by longtime Friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, start your travel planning by visiting Southwest, spell it out, southwestnewmexico.org, and you'll find great ideas about places to stay and things to do when you are ready and when New Mexico is ready to re-welcome you to the land of enchantment, and hopefully it will be very soon. Let's welcome Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson with our monthly Tucson Tourism Report, and thank goodness Tucson is welcoming visitors, right, Dan?
We're trying, for sure, yeah. I mean, certainly under a fair amount of restrictions. The good news is that some new things are opening, you know, Tucson Museum of Art is opening with their new expansion, the Kastner Wing, as well. In a little bit southeast of here, the Amerind Museum is opening up in the next week or so. So you're starting to see, you know, another wave of places figuring out how to exist in this environment and welcoming people back in. So some positive things. There are some positive things in general. However, we had the Arizona Governor's Conference on Tourism last week, all digital, of course, you know, and they were talking about the data and the impact on tourism, which is the impact on the Arizona taxpayer, is notable. Year to date, as of now, as of the end of May, the amount of taxes that have come in from tourism is down 14%. In May itself, it was down 15%. And so while some of that is buoyed by the solid early months of, you know, January and February, as of right now, these numbers are still going to go, are still down for now. And the impact on the amount of tax revenue that's coming into the state is not great. You know, we're still looking for the bright side, right?
Let me clarify that. So are you saying year to date, we're down about, which to me sounds pretty good, actually, if it's only 14%.
It's good in the sense that 14% could be a whole lot worse, right? I mean, it is a significant amount, but it could be a whole lot worse. We are still seeing these decreases, right? So June statewide, lodging was down 14% as an average daily rate, and the revenue per available room was down 37% over month to month, right, comparing June to June. So you're still seeing these numbers drop. The effect on taxes, it just keeps going, right? You would think I would remember the, it's $3.78 billion in 2019 was the amount of taxes so that came in from sale from tourism. So when you see that chunk come out, you know, 14% year to date is a lot of money. It's millions and millions of dollars. So it does remind people how important tourism is to our community, and to our state as a whole, and to the region here in Southern Arizona. I think the thing we're telling people now is, right, find how you can support these entities as much as you can. If you can become a member of the Desert Museum or Botanical Gardens or some of these things that, you know, we really prize as a community, that would help them out. If after the summer ends, you know, the summer has been okay for hotel stays because you have, you know, still people doing the staycation thing, which we certainly appreciate. But when kids get back into what approximates for school, these hotels are going to be hurting again, right? Because it sort of gets out of your mind in September. So take a weekend at a local hotel, a local resort. Like, I think you have to encourage people to be proactive about those decisions and to sort of step outside. Safety, your own safety and your own concerns are obviously paramount there. But if you do feel safe, consider supporting these local hotels, which employ a lot of people, by, you know, booking a night.
Well, the good news is national park visitation is off the charts, and
yeah, visitation is off the charts. Yeah. They're up 11%. So that's like, state parks are doing great. And back to the point where they have to control the crowds to some extent.
So, I mean, when it comes to national parks, we're very well endowed here in Arizona. So, I mean, that helps. RV sales are off the charts. Now people are doing RVs like apparently never before.
This would be the time to have been in that business, for sure.
That doesn't translate into necessarily to hotel stays, but these people are going to spend money with restaurants and other things, which is good. So, I mean, things are starting to improve, wouldn't you say?
Right. the consistent numbers of, you know, Arizona not being in the, you know, when they talk about the states that are having the most trouble, having Arizona out of that list makes a big difference, right? Nobody
yes.
wants to be in the, we're the new New York, or,
no.
You know, we don't want to be in the group with Florida and Texas. We want to be on the road back. And even I was looking through the New York Times on Sunday, and they were talking about, well, Tucson, Arizona seems to be doing the right things. I'm like, yes, all good things, because consumer confidence goes a long way in that space, as you might imagine. I think it's heading the right direction. It's just, you know, we have to be proactive about supporting this industry, and I think that's all of us.
We are headed in the right direction, and we are one of the few states where cases are going down. You know, we're on this, Arizona is on the list of many states that really, quite frankly, aren't accepting Arizonans into their state without quarantine. You just wonder, what is it going to take now for those states to look at Arizona and say, hey, we're no longer in the hot zone. When are we going to get off your quarantine list?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a PR thing in a way, right?
Yeah.
It really is just perception of whether people in that state, in those states, want to be accepting of it. I think that'll probably end pretty quickly. It really is this sense of it really will be road traffic, those sort of road trips. We were at a different tourism conference, and it came up over and over and over again. It's like, how do you get that travel, that car travel audience? And that's what we're going to keep doing as the time goes on. It's Arizona's doing it as well, an idea to rediscover Arizona, to get out and see this state and keep the money in these communities. And I think that goes a long way. You know, as people feel comfortable, when was the last time you've been to Bisbee? Have you been out, you know, to Ajo and Yuma and these other places in the state that maybe you haven't seen before? So,
yep. So there's plenty.
Here's great too. You could just stay in a Tucson hotel. They're really nice.
You did that, didn't you? Recently, a stay vacation.
Yeah, we went to Los Ventana Canyon. That was great. The safety is really, really, really well thought out there, from the check-in to the way the rooms are to the dining to everything. I don't think I've felt. I'm certainly probably more secure there than going to the grocery store or some of the other things. So, you know what I mean? It felt very under control and well thought out. And they have a new brunch. Obviously, one of the things they're known for is their Blues Brews and Barbecue brunch. But they've moved that to a sangria Spanish-style brunch, which was seated and plated and also featured a lot of sangria. So it's hard to be upset about that. It was a really great experience. It was really nice. And then we're going to go to Prescott this weekend. So exploring the state as we can.
And Dan Gibson, thank you for your service to the station. I mean, you were hosting today for my buddy Zach on Tipping Point. That was an interesting show about doing your telecommuting. Maybe you could do it even in Bali or somewhere.
Right. Everyone's moving everywhere. Yeah. We're going to get those digital nomads. We're going to get them here in Tucson. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting as this plays out, and hopefully it will play out in the right direction for a vaccine, because in the timing will be good, because then we'll be looking at our prime time, which will start in October.
Absolutely. It's all very much a wait and see thing, but we're still going to plug away and try to tell the great stories that are here in Tucson.
Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. Thanks, Dan.
My pleasure.
Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson with our monthly Tucson Tourism Report. It's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. Lots of content as usual in our noontime hour with you, and we'll do it all again tomorrow. And one of our very popular guests, trying to bring him on every month, is Will Hummel. He's on tomorrow, the former Arizona Health Department director, and he's really got the inside scoop on what's going on with COVID-19. Can't wait to hear what he says about leveling off of cases and where we are in this whole pandemic here in Arizona. On behalf of John Couch, engineering and producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.